Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Among the many things that could be said in reflection upon Isaiah 40 and Mark chapter 1 is this. And that's that God's essentially gracious character is revealed in the continual sending of messengers that prepare the way and that bear Christ, that lead us, in fact, to peace with God and forgiveness through Christ. In some ways, and sometimes every day, actually, you don't have to look farther than yourself and your own families to see the contrast between the character of God and the character of the world. As I reflect on this, I thought of an example from my own family, and I'll ask you all a question. How many of you have siblings? Be afraid, I know you're Lutherans, you can raise a hand here. How many of you ever fought with your siblings? That's what I expected. Now, I have myself two younger siblings, a younger brother and a younger sister. And I asked my brother for permission to tell this brief little interlude, by the way, that I'm about to tell you. And he said, if you're going to tell it publicly, you have to tell everybody that I'm the greatest brother in the world. And so, therefore, I have the greatest brother in the world, and he has given me permission to tell you what I'm about to tell you. For most of our childhoods, anyway, I was quite a bit bigger than my little brother. And so when we would scrap, when I got sick of him fighting, my tactic basically was to sit on him. And his typical response to that tactic was scratching, kicking, and screaming, "Get off me, fatso!" And later, when he matured a little bit, he learned the Spanish word for fat guy, and then it was, "Get off me, gordo," which he always said with a certain degree of delight. Now, so I would be sitting on him, and eventually, after I'd sat the kick out of him, I would get up, and he would begin to skulk out of the room, and always there was this look on his face, a look in his eyes that said, "Buddy, you may have won the battle, but the war is far from over." And so it would be. If any of you have siblings, you know this scenario, I'm sure. So it would be. Sometimes minutes, sometimes hours, sometimes days later, that I would be innocently walking around the corner, and then all of a sudden, bam! Right below the waist. All right? No warning, no preparation, no diplomatic solution. Just this vindictive punch in my most vulnerable area. The point is that God does not sucker punch us with the coming of Christ and with his second coming. The point is that God is not essentially vindictive. The point is that he always sends messengers to prepare the way for us. He is always gracious, always hopeful. And today, in the season of Advent, as my brother and I, thank the Lord, have matured a little bit, so we're not sitting on each other and punching each other as we once did, the Lord calls us to repentance today through this word. And to see in the midst of this, all the signs of the end times that are going on, the wars and rumors of wars and floods and earthquakes and all these things, to see what God has done for us. That in fact, he has always sent messengers, and he continues to. Just like he sent Isaiah to the people some 600 years before the birth of Christ at a time of apostasy and national tragedy, Isaiah was sent, and he didn't mince words. He called a sin a sin. He called a spade, as we say. He called them to repentance, and yet always, always, the comforting word, the Messiah is coming. Comfort, comfort, my people. And so it was when he sent, that is, the Lord sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord. Telling people what they needed to hear. You cannot save yourself. Preaching a baptism of repentance in the wilderness for a forgiveness of sins. Pointing them to the one who would come, the thongs of whose sandals John the Baptist and each one of us are unworthy to untie. And ultimately, as we know, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. That's us. That's you. God sent his Son. And that's part of the wonderful beauty of living in Advent. If you live in Advent and reflect on the readings that the church has given us through this time, you come to the celebration of Christ's birth at Christmas, not with just the kind of giddy thing about the new baby, but you see that baby for who he is. And Christmas is received with great solemnity because you know that that little baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger is in fact the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is a profoundly humbling thing because we know the end of the story. We know that that little baby grew up and lived a perfect life under the law on our behalf, offered himself as the final and complete sacrifice on our behalf. God sent him for this precise purpose, to reconcile you and me, all of us, and our children and our children's children, to reconcile us all to God, to bring us peace. And what is beautiful still yet, that after he ascended into heaven, according to the promise, and sits at the right hand and stands as our own mediator, still he sends messengers. The apostles, the church through the ages. And so help us, God, a lot of you. In these last days, amidst all the tumult that we see, Christ still sends you to bear witness to him, and still comes as he promises in his word, where two or three are gathered in his name, comes with the forgiving word that I am your Savior. You need not work your salvation. I have done it for you. Repent and believe in me. Still he comes in his body and blood, which promise you the forgiveness of sins. And that, my friends, as we approach exams, as we approach the tumult, some of us have come back from a trip to see devastation in the midst of all these things. That forgiveness, that reconciliation, that hope that is only had in Christ, that is truly good news. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.